When I went to the Seattle Spheres and I got to see the famous green wall that was filled with 40,000 plants indoors, I was puzzled to see these slim, like plastic looking baggies that were hanging off of various plant stems. And when I went in for a closer look, I realized that these unassuming bags were actually filled with beneficial insects and played a crucial part in the pest management of such a large plant installation. I also got asked to step away from the plants by a docent because I was looking at the bags too closely. But more importantly, beneficial insects have been used on commercial houseplant growing for decades, meaning insects that eat the common houseplant pests that we know and loathe. But only recently has the brilliant use of beneficials started being used as a common houseplant hobbyist practice. Now you might be thinking, Maria, you're telling me that you want me to bring bugs into my home to eat the bugs on my houseplant? Why, yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. But really, that's what today's guest, who is an expert on this matter, is going to share with you should you choose this adventure in your plant parent journey. Get ready.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Hi, plant friends. Maria here. If you're new here, I'm Maria. I'm your new best plant friend, and I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy while doing so. And if you're a repeat listener, welcome home. Welcome back. Boy, this is a highly requested episode. I'm so excited to get into beneficial insects. And beneficial insects are simply insects that prey on the houseplant pests that we know and love, like mealybugs, fungus gnats, thrips. And when you have a large plant collection, you might see people online that bring these beneficials into their homes to kind of combat pests on a more holistic level. I'm so excited also to announce that we have launched a new free download for you that's called The Ultimate Houseplant Pest Guide, How to Identify and Get Rid of Your Top 7 Houseplant Pests. So if you have ever struggled with spider mites, mealybugs, fungus gnats, aphids, scale, thrips, or whiteflies, go to the link in the show notes today and grab that download. It's completely free and it has pictures of the pests. So it teaches you how to identify them and also how to treat them with normal like pesticides, all natural options, and beneficial insects. So it's a really fun download that today's guest, Jamie, helped me put together. And I'm so excited to share it with you. It's going to be so valuable. And frankly, if you haven't had a pest outbreak, still grab the download because you'll be prepared when your inevitable first pest outbreak happens. Because with houseplants, it's not if, it's when, sadly. So this episode is actually inspired by a listener request. I had a listener write me saying, hey, I really want to learn more about beneficial insects, and I think you should interview Jamie from DMV Beneficials. So if you don't know, DMV Beneficials is a beneficial insect and biocontrol collective that aims to facilitate access to evidence-based effective pest management tools and practices for houseplant growers and home garden enthusiasts regarding beneficial insects. And today we're talking to Jamie Stanton. She is a pest management consultant and the co-founder of DMV Beneficials. You'll hear about her background, but she's so interesting. She has a background in organizational development and sustainable agriculture. She serves as the executive director for a nonprofit supporting community-led initiatives in rural El Salvador. She's a researcher by profession. She's so smart. She's impressed me so much in this conversation, and she has so much to share, and she really does make using beneficial insects like really approachable. I am very excited. We made plans later in the year. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, Jamie is actually going to be coming to Florida and coming to my house, and we're going to do a beneficial installation in my green wall, which I'm very excited about. You'll hear more about that in the future. But anyway, I'm so thankful to Jamie because she has so much expertise. Don't forget to go download your ultimate houseplant pest guide in the show notes. And without further ado, here's Jamie from DMV Beneficials. Welcome, Jamie. I'm so excited to talk to you about this often requested but often intimidating topic of beneficial insects. Before we dive in, can you introduce yourself and tell us how you became the bug lady you are today?
For sure. Of course. Yeah. And first, thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm looking really forward to sort of diving into this topic with you all. My name is Jamie, and you can find me personally on Instagram under my handle Copper Lattice. I'm generally a researcher by profession with a background in sustainable agriculture, but I'm more sort of well known for being the co-founder of DMB Beneficials. You may be familiar with DMB Beneficials. We're an all-volunteer organization that works to provide evidence-based pest management to the houseplant community using beneficial insects and biocontrols, which is kind of like a big mouthful to say that our main goal is really to provide quality pest management information to the houseplant community and empower individuals to use beneficial insects sustainably and effectively. And to do that, we sort of have two main areas that we work in. The first is that we provide free professional pest management consultations to the plant community. So we do pest ID, treatment recommendations, troubleshooting, all of those good things. And we also organize group orders in cities around the country to make sure that beneficial insects are financially accessible to as many people as possible as well. Because as you sort of get started moving into that beneficial insect space, you start to see sort of pretty quickly that there can be a bit pricey when it comes to the required overnight shipping. So through the group orders, not only are you guaranteed that, you know, you get the quality information that you need to use them effectively, but they're also much, much cheaper. So, you know, we work pretty hard to make sure that not only are you going to be successful in using them, but it's going to be financially accessible to you all.
Yeah, because I feel like what you really know beneficial insects for being is in greenhouse management, right? Like people who are growing thousands upon thousands of plants, and that's the way they maintain pests and manage pests in large greenhouse environments. But now with this surge of houseplant enthusiasts that also have rather large collections of their own, you hear these stories of people releasing ladybugs and different types of larvae and plants in their house. And I think it really freaks people out. So what is a beneficial insect? What makes an insect beneficial?
Yep. So you're absolutely right. So beneficial insects kind of come from this commercial agriculture space where you had, you know, large greenhouses, mass produced poinsettias, like pepper plants, all of that type of space. And sort of back in the sort of history of using them, that all of the information was geared toward that. In that space, there are a ton of different beneficials that you can use. You can use them in those spaces. But when we started using them on houseplants, there are some sort of specific houseplant parameters that we want to talk about. And so while there are a ton of different beneficial insects, things like spiders, pollinators, when we're talking about beneficial insects with respect to pest management and specifically within the context of houseplant pest management, we're really talking about selecting predator insects that are going to eat the pest insects on your plants. So those are the sort of specific niche of beneficial insects that we really want to sort of key in and talk about.
Yeah. So like I have mealybugs, and instead of going and getting the systemic granules that I put in my soil or spraying the plant down with all of these other sprays, your argument is no, just release the pest that eats the mealybugs. And that's a more, and if you think about it innate.
Well, release the predator. You have the pest.
Sorry. Yes. Release the predator that eats the pest, which is also how it works in nature, right? Because I think as houseplant parents, that's the one thing. Gardeners have beneficial predators, beneficial insects out in their gardens that they can take advantage of. We don't, because we are enjoying plants in this very sterile kind of environment that we're creating. So we're not able to replicate that tropical jungle that a lot of these insects naturally live in. How did you get into this, like you specifically?
So my relationship to beneficial insects is kind of a winding road. Like I said, my background is in sustainable agriculture, and I've worked for many years actually in rural El Salvador. And there is a lot of really innovative agroecological practices sort of taking place in that space. And after spending so much time kind of working there and seeing not just how pesticides had harmed the health of the local communities, but also how richly the plants were growing, how well and how successful these agroecological practices were. You know, I came back to my apartment in Washington, D.C., and it was like, well, you know, I can't just like forget all of that information. I can't just forget those experiences. So I started trying to figure out, okay, you know, obviously this is not rural El Salvador, this is my apartment, but how can we take those, that understanding, how can we take those lessons and really bring that into the houseplant space in the same sort of sustainable, mindful, effective manner?
I love that. for the purposes of this conversation, we're going to talk about pests. That's the pests that descend on the houseplants. We'll talk about beneficial predators as what we're ordering from you, but they are insects. What is the argument to use beneficial predators instead of just the spray that I already have?
So there's a couple reasons that one might want to use beneficial insects instead of pesticides. The very sort of first key one is that pesticide resistance is a real thing. It is something that is plaguing commercial growers and homeowners alike. Things like thrips will develop resistance very, very quickly to the sort of most common spray that's used for them, which is called Captain Jack's. They actually develop a metabolic resistance to it. So you can create a Captain Jack's resistant thrips population on your own houseplants. So this sort of pesticide resistance that we're seeing is real and it's growing. So the first key thing is that beneficial insects, you can't develop beneficial insect resistance. They're always going to work for you. I also encourage people to think of when they're selecting a pest management tool that, you know, a key factor that we use in selecting that is like, yes, we want it to kill the pest and we want it to do it quickly, but there are other things that we want to take into account. So we want it to kill the pest today, but we also want it to manage the pest sustainably. And so some of these spray products, because of the resistance that they develop, they just don't stand up to that need to sort of manage pests sustainably over time. The other thing we like to take into account is we want to, you know, select that product and have it do the least harm possible. That I use a very silly metaphor to describe this. Like you could put uranium on a pest and like it would kill the pest for sure, but you probably wouldn't want to bring that into your house. And you probably wouldn't want to put that on your plant. So beneficial insects also have the benefit. Not only are they a sustainable pest management option, but they do the least harm. They're not going to harm you and they're not going to harm your plant. And I think, and this is just my personal opinion, I think they're more fun. You know, I think they really sort of bring back this sort of energy of collaboration into the growing of houseplants that you just don't get with a spray. Like you get to get these little bugs and you release them on your plants. Like, I don't know. I think that's really fun and really cool to see.
So how does it work? I order some pests. They come in I'm assuming they come in the larva stage. I mean, we'll walk through that, but they descend. Say I have the mealybugs or say I have thrips. I order the predators. The predators arrive. I put them in my plants. Then am I going to have the predators forever and ever? Like, do the predators live in my plants forever and ever? Amen. Or they will slowly die out? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So you are also sort of pinpointing a really important part of, you know, understanding how they work is that, yes, they are pest specific. So the sort of first key thing that you're really going to want to make sure that you do is that you identify the pest accurately. Do you have thrips? Do you have mealybugs? Do you have spider mites? And then you'll be able to select the appropriate predator to go for that pest. And you'll place your order, you'll get your predators, you'll release them on your plants. And then unfortunately, for many people, the goal, I mean, if they were able to live forever and ever on your plants, that would be awesome because you'd never have to order them again. But, you know, we don't have the environment within our sort of houseplant growing space to make sure that, you know, they have a sustainable population. So you're really looking at using beneficial insects as kind of a tool in your pest management arsenal, you know, kind of like the way that you would use a spray where you're going to, you know, you're going to wash your plant, you're going to spray, and then you'll have to spray again. With the beneficial insects, you will have to release fresh insects, you know, depending on the issue that's going on at different intervals throughout your own sort of growing process.
Okay. So this whole episode is making the argument for releasing these predators. What are the, as a houseplant parent who might have pets, who might have kids, what are the risks? Are there risks associated with releasing beneficial insects in your home?
No, there are no risks with releasing them. Much fewer risks actually than using pesticides. With things like pesticides, especially with kids and pets, they're more uniquely vulnerable to sort of the negative effects of pesticides because of the way they interact with the environment. I don't know if any of your listeners have cats. I have cats. My cat eats my plants all of the time. As much as I try to stop him, and any pesticide residue on there could really damage him. If he eats a beneficial insect, like, I mean, he probably shouldn't do that. I don't think it tastes very good, but it's not going to harm him at all. My dog has gotten into the
little
sachets.
It's just a little protein.
Right, exactly. A little extra protein in his diet. So there's no risks or dangers in terms of releasing the bugs in your house. And it's really actually much safer than using the pesticide sprays.
What about stinging? Are any of them going to sting me?
So we try to, with DMV beneficials, we've put together treatment plans and recommendations for beneficials that will not sting or bite you. That's part of what we try to do is these are the sort of most accessible predator options that are going to cause the least amount of issue around your plants. There are one or two, if you wanted to be particularly adventurous, where there's more of a risk of getting bitten by them. But that's only if you're like, I want to be really aggressive and I want to, you know, kind of push my beneficial insect treatment plans. The majority of them are not going to even, you know, bother or go near you at all.
We talk a lot about sustainability in today's episode. And if you've ever worried about water restriction in particular in your garden, I have your next favorite book for you. It's called The Water Smart Garden by Noelle Johnson. So as freshwater shortages increasingly strike regions around the globe, it's more important than ever to employ water conserving practices in your garden. And in The Water Smart Garden, you'll learn dozens of techniques to limit water use while growing a gorgeous and thriving garden, no matter your climate. Not only will you learn how to make smart plant choices and improve the water holding capacity of your soil and your containers, you'll learn what xeriscaping is and how to do it, drought tolerant growing tips, and plant care advice to make the most of low water situations. The author, Noelle Johnson of AZ Plant Lady, knows a lot about this. She lives in Arizona, which has water shortages, and she's actually going to be a guest on the podcast to speak more about this topic because I find it fascinating. But go ahead and grab her book ahead of time and build a resilient, attractive, and low-maintenance landscape. That's The Water Smart Garden by Noelle Johnson. You can pick it up at your local bookstore, bookshop.org, Barnes & Noble, or amazon.com. That's The Water Smart Garden by Noelle Johnson. Plant friends, it's no secret that I love Espoma Organic and their products, their potting mixes, their fertilizers, their tones. I love them. I use all of their products in my indoor and outdoor gardens, but I've also, I don't know if you know how sustainable and committed this company is to organic gardening practices. In addition to making all of the products that I love, Espoma Organic has a really large commitment to sustainability. Their manufacturing facility is 100% solar powered and it consists of panels that cover nearly 43,000 square feet of warehouse rooftops and 24,000 square feet of office ground. Espoma has always been a minimal waste manufacturing facility and continues to strive to create zero waste during its manufacturing processes. It's one of the largest recycler of manure. It prevents millions of pounds of raw manure from leaching into waterways. It also uses bio-preferred packaging. So if this episode has you inspired about sustainable living and connecting more to the natural ecosystem and organic living, you should try Espoma Organic. They've been championing organic living and sustainable living for decades, and they make the most amazing products. All of my houseplants are in their potting mix. I don't plant anything in my outdoor garden and frankly in my indoor garden now without sprinkling some Biotone Starter Plus plant food when I plant the plant up. They have fertilizers for everything you could possibly imagine in the garden. To learn more about Espoma.com and their amazing products and their commitment to sustainability, you can go to Espoma.com to find where your local Espoma dealer is, or you can go to my Amazon storefront for my curated list of Espoma favorites. What are the two that you were saying that I need to keep my eyes peeled? Because I'm very allergic to mosquitoes. Like, I've been hospitalized for it multiple times. So I would not want to dabble in those. So what are the ones that sting?
Yeah, then you would definitely want to stay away from lacewing larva. That's the one that you would not want to release on your plants. As well as there's a bug called a pirate bug. Stay away from those two.
Okay. Oh my God. I can't imagine like releasing bugs in your house and then, or even my husband, if I was ever to, I mean, I, after this conversation, I want to try beneficials, but my husband, it's going to be such an argument. I couldn't even imagine bringing bugs in and then having him getting bitten by lacewing or something. Like that would be such a bad point on my end for maintaining this with my husband, who's not a plant person. Okay. So.
Yeah. I mean, we've joked that we want to make this sort of DMV beneficials, like spousal support group for people who want to like bring the beneficials into their home. Because it's common. You know, it's one thing to be a plant person and to say, okay, I'm going to bring these bugs into my home. But then to try to convince either your roommate or your spouse that this is happening can be kind of an interesting conversation.
I could almost see like a training video, like almost one of those corporate training videos that you could create being like, So your roommate or partner has brought home beneficial insects. Here's what you need to know. Exactly. No, they're not going to sting you too, you know? I love that. How does it work? So I recently actually got to go to the Amazon Spheres in Seattle, and they have this epic green wall with like 1,900 different types of plants. I have installed a smaller green wall with 15 planters worth of plants behind me. And I'm curious to use beneficials on this green wall because I have so many plants in a small area. And I noticed that at the Amazon Spheres, they had these little plastic long column bags. And when I went and looked close, those were actually the beneficial insects. And then I got yelled at because I was touching the plants and the docent got mad at me. So it seems like, and I feel like houseplant Instagram, I've seen people with these little bags of the beneficial insects. So like, how does it work? If I'm a total newbie, I've never done beneficial insects before. Take me through the first installation of these beneficials in my houseplant collection.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you're probably referring to these. These are what we call the sachets. And
exactly.
The sachets. If you're just getting started, this is the best, easiest, most helpful product that you could kind of start with. So if you're sort of just getting your feet wet in beneficials, the first question that I would ask you is, are you having an active pest issue? And let's assume for the sake of this that the answer is no, that, you know, you don't think there's anything wrong with your plants, but you do want to start using beneficial insects preventatively. You would want to sort of then think to yourself, okay, are there any pests that I've had in the past? Let's say, you know, you don't think you have any issues now, but 2 years ago, you had thrips for a little bit and like that was kind of stressful. So maybe you had thrips in the past, but everything seems fine now. For prevention, the sachets work really, really well. These are going to be what we call a foliage predator. So you're going to hang them in the plant and the mites come out of there's a little tiny hole in the sachet. And they'll kind of move around and patrol your plants. For houseplants, there's two different sachets that you can choose between. One is the Cucumeris mite, which works pretty well for thrips and assorted other pest mites. The other is the Californicus mite, which is more for sort of flat and spider mites. You can use both. You can use one or the other. But definitely starting with a predator mite sachet would be a really good entry point for anyone who's interested in just getting started. And for prevention, you know, people always ask, well, how many should I get? I recommend usually 1/3 the number of plants you have. So if you have 100 plants, you'd want to get 30 sachets. You can sort of put them intermittently around your plants.
Oh, wow.
Yep. You can move them around every couple of days. One plant has it for a day or two. You can put it on another plant. Really, really super easy. Another good place to start would be with a substrate predator, things like the nematodes. These are going to revolutionize your fungus gnat problems. Like no more sticky traps, no more mosquito bit tea, no more cinnamon, nothing. Like it's all going to be done. Just put the nematodes in there and they're going to take care of it. So those are kind of the entry points to beneficial insects. Using the predator mite sachets for prevention and treating your soil with something like nematodes is going to be really thorough pest prevention for, you know, the majority of houseplant owners.
Tell me more about nematodes, because fungus gnats is a huge issue. So are those used preventatively? So if I put the nematodes in my soil, then it reduces my chance of having fungus gnats, or those are what I use when I get fungus gnats?
You can use them both ways. So I always recommend if people have fungus gnats, definitely use them. They're pretty simple to use. They come in like a powder. It's a gel powder. You just mix it with water. You water your plants so the soil is pretty damp, and then you just water it into the soil, and they will knock those fungus gnats out for you. I'm telling you, it's like magic. Like I just, for so long before I started using them in my houseplants, I thought I was going to live with sticky traps for the rest of my life. I have not used a sticky trap since I started using nematodes. They're really, really excellent. And then it's a good idea to use them preventatively once you knock the fungus gnats out. Every, you know, once, twice a year is usually sufficient to make sure that they don't pop back up.
To go in and get any larvae living in the soil.
Right. Or, you know, if like you have your plants outside, right?
Yeah. For people who bring their plants indoors and outdoors in the fall, I mean, for the summer and then bringing them back, I could see this being an amazing companion to, okay, if you're bringing your plants back inside after them being outside in the summer, do a pest treatment, do a predator treatment in addition to isolating. What is a nematode?
It is actually a microscopic worm. So, but don't get freaked out. You can't see them.
So when you're sending me the powder of the nematodes, what is the powder? Is it eggs of the worms? Like, how does that? It's like, remember when we were kids, you would get the little pill and you'd put the pill in water and it would turn into a sponge dinosaur. Like, do you remember that? That's what it feels like this is. It's like magic.
Yep. I mean, it feels like magic, but no, the powder is just, it's like a carrier substrate for the nematodes themselves. So, you know, they're not actually aquatic organisms, but having them in that powder and then mixing it with the water is just sort of the easiest way to get them evenly distributed. So you don't just get like a bunch of nematodes like in the powder in one plant and then the rest of them don't get it.
So they're just so microscopic that we can't see them to our plain eye. So the powder. Okay. Oh my God. That's so freaky. And so the bag, if I order a satchel, is the satchel filled with mite larvae that hatch and then get released? Or is the satchel filled with existing mites and the mites just survive the journey and then get released? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so it's both. So the satchels are actually designed to be what we call slow release. So when you get it in the mail, it's going to deliver to your house. When it comes to your house, what it's going to have in it are adult mites, juvenile mites, and eggs. And the goal is that the sachet is designed by the manufacturer so that the humidity within the sachet is perfect. And this is an important point. You should not open the sachet or make the hole bigger. It's perfectly designed to keep the humidity at the level that the mites need to reproduce in there so that you're going to get bursts of fresh predator mites every 2 weeks for approximately 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow. Okay. So got it. They like succession plant the mites. That's what it is.
Exactly.
It's succession planting for the mites. That's brilliant. So I order a satchel. I'm literally just hanging it on my plants. You said that I can move them around. What about ladybugs?
Great question.
Or really lady beetles, I guess.
Yeah. And ladybugs are sort of the, I guess I would say, you know, the most charismatic of beneficial insects. And they're usually the first thing that people think of when we talk about beneficial insects on houseplants. Unfortunately, they're just not, there are a number of reasons why we don't recommend them. One is that if anyone listening has ever tried releasing ladybugs in your house before, they're going to get everywhere. They're going to be on your windowsills. They're going to escape.
Right. They fly everywhere.
Right. They fly everywhere. They're also not particularly targeted to the pests that we are trying to treat on houseplants. So they're not going to do a very good job. And there's also a sustainability concern with the ladybugs. So all of the ladybugs that you're getting commercially are actually being harvested wild from the Sierra Mountains, then packaged and shipped around the country. This has bad ecological ramifications for the Sierras where they're harvested, but also for other areas of the United States where this species is not actually native to, for example, like Washington, D.C. or Pennsylvania or Florida. So we really recommend against purchasing wild harvested ladybugs, because when you move them from California to Pennsylvania, where they're not native, they bring disease, they cause issues. So we really, ladybugs are not only not necessarily super effective for houseplants, but there's a bunch of sort of ecological considerations that make them not really suited to use for pest management.
No matter how whimsical we might think that it might be to have ladybugs flying around our house. Yeah, I've heard horror stories of people getting insect larvae, I think ladybugs, and releasing them, and then them just crawling all over the windows and not even going in the plants.
Right. And no one wants that. You know, that's not a good sort of pest management solution, having to sweep up dead ladybugs from your windowsills. We don't want that.
Not cute. Am I going to have to sweep up dead mites, or are the mites, am I going to be able to see the mites in the satchels with my bare eye, or are they really small as well?
No, they're really small. And there seems to be, you know, before you've released them for the first time, there is this sense or feeling of like, am I going to see little mites crawling all over my plants? Am I going to see them everywhere? And the response—
Are they going to crawl over me too?
Right. Are they going to crawl all over me or my counter? And most people actually come back and say, are you sure that the product is okay? Because I don't see anything. They are microscopic, and the mites themselves are nearly blind, and they can't move very far. That, you know, they're going to really stay on the plants where their food source is, and they don't have the ability to move much farther beyond that. So it's more likely than not that you won't even see them, that you won't notice them at all, and they're not going to go very far.
And I guess that's why it's important that you move the satchel around, because they're not even flying from plant to plant, it sounds like.
Correct. Yeah, they can move, like if you have your leaves touching each other, they can kind of move around the leaves on the foliage, but they definitely can't climb down the pot and up into another pot.
Wow. Okay. And what about active? So say I have an active scale. I like to joke that scale is my first pet. Like I've just had scale for 7 years, like on my plants, no matter what I do. Is there a beneficial predator for scale?
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, it would be lacewing larvae.
There is? So
okay. Your husband might not be that happy with that.
Darn it. Okay. All right. Just kidding. So let's say I have thrips. Let's say I have an active outbreak of thrips in my green wall. Knock on wood. I pray that that never happens. But I have an active outbreak. What do I do? How do I use it as an active intervention instead of a prevention?
Perfect. So the first thing that you're going to want to do, especially with thrips, is you're going to want to really go through the wall and you're going to want to say, okay, where are the hotspots? Which plants are the most affected by thrips? Definitely identify which ones those are. Remove the plants. Wash as many of the thrips off as you can with just water. This is the simplest intervention and one of the most effective things that you can do in terms of pest management. And if your listeners take one thing away from this, even if you're using sprays, still rinse the pests off with just water. So always start there. And then for thrips, there is a treatment plan that we put together for that. Thrips, because of their life cycle, require a number of different predators to treat them. So for those of you who don't know, thrips are sort of long, slender insects. They lay their eggs inside the leaf tissue. The larvae eat their way out of the leaf, and then they sort of crawl around damaging your plants. And then many species drop down into the soil to pupate, where they then reemerge as adult thrips again. So you're going to want to choose predators that target all of those life stages. You'll want a soil predator for the pupa in the soil. The one that we recommend is called Stradiolaelaps. So you'll want a soil predator there. You'll want a foliage predator for the larva. Cucumeris is a pretty good choice for that. You can use it preventatively in the sachets, or you can get a bulk bottle if you're treating for active thrips. And then depending how bad the thrips issue is, you can add a third predator, either lacewing larva or a bug called aureus insidiosus. Those will take down the thrip adults. But that's only if you want to be sort of super extra aggressive and make sure that you're getting extra population knockdown. If budget is a concern with treating thrips, you can stick with just the Stradiolaelaps and the Cucumeris. And they'll do a pretty decent job, just the two of them.
And how long, like from the day that I put all of the predators out, how long does it take for them to take down the thrips infestation?
Most people start to see no more thrips between day 9 and day 16. So it'll be totally normal to keep seeing thrips right after you release the beneficial insects. They're just trying to sort of get a leg up on the population. So after you release them, if you see any thrips still around, it is normal. But you can just remove them with a little paper towel, just spot clean any thrips that you see. But by day 9 to 16, we'll start to sort of notice that the thrips have disappeared.
Okay, but it's going to be a long game if you're intervening, because you're going to have to order, wait for the delivery, set it up. So your plants are essentially going to have thrips for 2 weeks. I mean, obviously, you're going to get in there and wash everything off and get as many adult larvae gone as possible. But it is a 2 week kind of process from order to eradication.
Yes. And that also speaks to a good point that, you know, when we sort of start this process with anyone, we like to say, don't panic that once you are seeing the thrips, they have been on your plants for much longer than you noticed. And your plants are not going to die in the course of that waiting. And that we actually tend to see more pest management mistakes. And like, you know, I know that I've done this. I'm sure that we've all done this. It's like you see a pest and you're like, oh my gosh, there's a pest. And then you just start sort of throwing everything but the kitchen sink at it. You know what I mean? And it's like actually like taking that moment, saying like, don't panic, and then choosing your pest management intervention and following through with that is going to be the most effective strategy for any pest.
Yeah, because the plant's going through shock already. So then to be like, oh no, I'm going to like scrub all the soil off the roots and repot it and isolate it and put it in the dark because I'm isolating it in my bathroom. Like, yeah, you can do too much. So my other question was, can I use beneficials in tandem with pesticides if I'm nervous? Like, can I spray my plant down with a neem oil or with a, you know, bioinsecticide and then also hit them with the mites?
So it depends on the pesticide. generally most things that you're going to find, you cannot. So things like systemic granules, Captain Jack's, neem oil depends on the brand. You have to be really careful. If the neem oil has pyrethrins in it, you can't use it with the beneficials. But most horticultural oils that are strictly the horticultural oil, so like a pure neem, things like Monterey horticultural oil, which is a mineral oil, those you can use in tandem. You just have to be really careful with some of the more synthetic pesticides because those carry toxic residues in them that the residue on the leaves will harm the beneficials. And then you're going to be in this space where, yeah, it's just not going to be working as well as either one. It's not going to be working as well as you would want.
It'll kill the beneficials and then the pest might be resistant to the systemic. Okay, so you got to just be patient. Let's talk about houseplants and beneficial predators. So can we kind of run through maybe the top five inquiries that you're getting? Like, what are the top five houseplant pests that you guys see people using beneficials for?
Yeah. So usually the main one that we see people coming to us for, and it tends to be like the gateway pest, are spider mites. Spider mites are uniquely hard to treat with pesticides because...
Yeah, I'm still traumatized.
Yep. Yep. They're really hard.
I'm still traumatized from my spider mites outbreak in 2016.
Yeah, right. Everyone has that. It's like the great spider mite outbreak of insert year here. They can be really difficult to treat with traditional pesticides because they're a mite, not an insect. And so things like Captain Jack's isn't really going to do much for them. Pyrethrins don't tend to work very well. And the systemic granules actually have been scientifically proven to increase their populations. So a lot of the common tools that are out there are either not suited for or making spider mite problems worse. And so a lot of people come to us with spider mite issues and the beneficial insects are so, so easy. It's actually the pest that I started with when I was first kind of developing these treatment plans with spider mites. Very, very easy. There's a bunch of different predators you can select from and they do very well in the houseplant environment. So spider mites are definitely the top one that we see, followed closely by thrips.
Well, let's go back to spider mites. So If I want to prevent spider mites or if I have spider mites, what are your recommended predators?
So if you want to prevent spider mites, you're going to want to use it's called a Californicus mite. They come in little sachets. Those are the best for spider mites. I like to combine those with a soil predator called Stradiolaelaps to be super, super thorough in case, you know, spider mites do not have a life stage in the soil the way that thrips do. But like, if you think of the plant, like what if a spider mite falls down into the soil? Like you want something down there that's like going to make sure to take care of all of that. So those are sort of the two for prevention. If you have a spider mite issue, you can use a predator mite called Persimilis. It is what we call the industry standard predator for spider mites. And they actually run super fast and can outrun spider mites. So Persimilis would be a good choice if you have spider mites on your plants.
Okay. But as preventative, the other one that starts with a C, I'm not going to remember any of these names. What's it called?
Californicus. It's like California, but Californicus.
Californicus. The Californicus is the spider mite one. Okay. So then you were saying the next one is probably going to be thrips.
Yeah, yeah. Then most people come to us with thrips issues. And those can be frustrating and frustrating as a gateway pest for beneficials, especially because thrips will take longer to get rid of. And they're a very frustrating pest. But as long as you, as we were talking about, if you're patient, if you stick with it and commit to the process, that they will also be easily eradicated too.
So thrips is the one that you're hitting with the nematodes in the soil. And then the other mite, not the Californicus, the...
Cucumeris.
Cucumeris. Okay. Who else do you hear about? Mealybugs, I'm guessing?
Yeah, mealybugs. There's a lot of those. And we are working with suppliers. So the best predator for mealybugs is a larva called Cryptolamus. And so we've been working with various insect suppliers to kind of get them in more houseplant appropriate sizes. Currently, the best way to get them is through our DMV beneficials chapters because we're able to get the bigger quantities and then make them smaller for you. But we're trying to get those sizes available to everyone at the retail level. So Cryptolamus is going to be the best option for mealybugs. And because it's so satisfying, I mean, I find mealybugs to be really aggravating, but it's so, so satisfying to treat for them. So I actually like voluntarily take in mealybug rehab plants just for the pure joy of like using Cryptolamus and getting rid of them so quickly.
So that's so interesting because the mealybugs are a visual. You can see mealybugs on a plant. So do you see the bugs, the predators descending and like eating the mealybugs alive?
I mean, sometimes and it's funny too, this Cryptolamus larva, they're really small. They're not as big as mealybugs, but they actually look kind of similar to a mealybug. So it's a little bit weird that like this is the dynamic that's taking place on the plant, but it is really satisfying to just see them all disappear because they really ruin a plant and they get their debris everywhere. And it's really, really satisfying to watch the plant kind of rebound after a bad mealybug issue.
Especially plants like Hoya rope, what's the Hoya compacta, Carnosa compacta,
yeah.
Like those plants that have ripples, yep, that those mealybugs can get into, and it's so hard to get them out. It would be so nice to not have to worry about that and just like release some predators and let them take care of it.
Exactly. Like you're working with them and they can get into all those places.
So we talked about thrips, spider mites, mealybugs. Scale, very sadly for me, is lacewings, which I guess scale will just forever be my pet. What other common houseplant pests do you find to be very easy to eradicate with beneficials?
So a big one that we're seeing in the last 2 years are flat mites. This is something that kind of started, yeah, in the Hoya community. It's a pest that's completely microscopic and it doesn't make webbing like spider mites do, but they cause a lot of stunted growth and sort of visually unappealing damage. And because they're a mite similar to spider mites, people have been finding them very difficult to get rid of. And we've been seeing them kind of move into the anthurium space, which is somewhat new over the last year. The good news is that they are really also easy to treat with beneficials. That mite that we use for spider mite prevention, Californicus, is going to be the best choice for flat mites. And you can get that mite not just in a sachet, but in a big bottle. So similarly to other pests, you're going to want to rinse the affected plants really, really well. And then you can use the bottle of the Californicus mites to get a big aggressive burst of that predator, as well as the sachets to get sustainable control over time. And it should do a great job for you for flat mites. They're pretty easy to treat with beneficials.
How does the bottle work?
So the mites themselves will come in. It's a bottle usually full of vermiculite, and they'll all just be kind of in there. And you just gently sort of rotate the bottle. Don't shake it. Don't put it in the fridge. Just gently rotate it. And then you can pour small amounts of the substrate out on each plant. And then the mites will just disperse and do all the work that they need to do.
That's amazing. So your degree is in on the sustainable side of all of this. So how does sustainability play into beneficials and what should we be thinking about as we approach beneficials?
Yeah, so one of the really wonderful things about using beneficial insects is the sustainability aspect. The use of pesticides is really detrimental to the environment as a whole, even if you're only using them inside. And it's really important that as we think about our pest management choices, that, you know, we understand our interconnectedness to everything that is around us. And by using beneficial insects, you are, you know, you're not contributing to that environmental contamination that comes with pesticides. You know, I know that we all enter into growing plants because we love them. You know, we love our plants. We love the environment. And, you know, sort of my thinking or my way that I approach things is that that love that I have for my houseplants extends to the bees outside, to the butterflies outside, to the plants that are growing outside. And I want all of my decisions to be mindful of how they affect that entire ecosystem that I'm intimately connected to. And so beneficial insects not only sort of help steward the health of the entire ecosystem, starting within your apartment, but they're also going to become a much more sustainable pest management tool for you. It never ceases to be inspiring to me watching people make the transition and, you know, not only being like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like, look at all the little bugs, but having like a piece come back into their plant care. So many people, they come to DMB beneficials and they're like, this plant was like a gift from my mother. I've had it for 15 years or like, you know, this plant means so much to me and like I'm so afraid and like stressed and I don't want it to die. Being able to like step into that space with everyone and to have an effective, sustainable way to manage pests in a way that's going to save that plant and your sanity, like it's really, really great.
That's amazing. Yeah, you're definitely selling me on this. And I do think houseplants are the gateway to reconnecting with nature and they are the gateway to living a more sustainable life because once you have the houseplants, then you start composting, like it just snowballs. And so beneficials make a lot of sense to me. So where can I get them? I mean, tell me more about DMV. Tell me like what you guys have to offer, but also if there are limitations, like where else we should be looking, like give us the skinny on. And also, can you give me a sense of like what price in general like a beneficial insect should run me?
For sure. Yeah. So in terms of the beneficial insect industry, so the beneficial insects themselves are produced in these gigantic insectaries. And generally, if you're looking for a beneficial insect, you want to get it as close to the insectary as possible. Like you ideally want to walk to the insectary with your plant and like put the bugs right on there, but we can't do that, unfortunately. So that's why beneficial insects can become expensive, because the insectaries themselves sort of mandate overnight shipping to you to get those bugs to you as fresh as possible. Because if you have dead or damaged predators, they're not going to do the work that you need them to do. So the first thing that I always urge people is you want to have as much urgency about getting that beneficial insect to your plant as you would if it was like your cat in the mail. Like you should feel like that nervous about like getting that predator to you as fast as possible. And you know what DMV Beneficials does is we kind of step in as an intermediary, because a lot of these insectaries, like we talked about in the beginning, are only selling really large quantities to industrial agriculture. And DMV Beneficials says, okay, you know, we're going to organize this group order of everyone in Washington, D.C., and then we're going to be able to get these insectary quality predators to you in retail sizes and at retail prices. So generally, what you are looking at in terms of the price of the product is you're going to be spending probably around $15 to $20 per bottle of beneficial insects is generally what it should be running you. And then, you know, if you're ordering from DMV Beneficials, you're going to be paying around an $8 to $9 shipping charge as compared to ordering directly from the insectary, where shipping is going to run you more like $60 sometimes. So if you have a DMV Beneficial chapter near you, that's going to be the best quality and most cost-effective way to get beneficial insects to you. If you don't, you can order directly from different suppliers. Just make sure that you're really, really diligent about asking them about their sort of quality control measures, and make sure that you're ordering from insectaries that are sort of as close to that production process as possible. This can really make or break your pest management plan. If you get really poor quality beneficials, I mean, you're going to have poor quality pest management. And that's, you know, what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah. And I mean, I've also heard horror stories of people ordering them and them being dead upon arrival. And then you're just like, you got a thing full of dead insects, you know, which is so gross. And you were saying, so say if I want to begin my preventative beneficial journey, like twice a year, you were saying, like, order the satchels, enjoy them, or, you know, let your plants enjoy them. And then like once or twice a year, just as a kind of refresh and making sure everybody's good.
Yep, that should be okay. If you want to do it more during the growing season, or, you know, if you're bringing in a lot of new plants more regularly, you might want to increase the amount of times that you release them to something more like 3 or 4 times a year. But for a sort of normal sized houseplant collecting situation with no major pest issues, 1 to 2 times a year is often very sufficient.
Amazing. How many chapters does DMV Beneficials have?
We have about 30 chapters currently.
Oh, wow. Okay. So everybody can go to your website, dmvbeneficials.com, to see if there's a chapter near them. And if there isn't a DMV Beneficials chapter near them, am I Googling like insectaries near me? Like, what's the best way to find the most reputable, I guess, insectary?
Yeah. So, I mean, first, if there isn't a chapter near you and you want to start one, definitely reach out to us, because we provide you with all of the information that you need to start a chapter. So we'll train you on how to use the bugs and how to help your group members use them effectively, as well as, you know, sort of give you all of the tools that you need to run the group on the admin side. And if you don't want to do that and you just want to sort of go and order the bugs on your own, also totally fine. You can Google things like insectaries. I can add some links for everybody to look at in the show notes if that's helpful to you, so that you know that you're getting sort of quality insects from different suppliers.
That's amazing. You are so knowledgeable. I could talk to you about this forever. So can you let us know where we can find DMV Beneficials and all the things that you guys offer there? And then also you. And your personal houseplant account as well.
Yeah, so definitely you can go to dmvbeneficials.com as our website, and we'll have links to all our socials. We're at dmvbeneficials on Instagram. One of the main social sites that we use, we have a DMV Beneficials community on Facebook. And so, you know, you'll be able to chat with all the people who use beneficial insects and share your experience, as well as get pest management advice in that forum. So the DMV Beneficials community on Facebook is great. There's also a contact form on our website if you know, want a free personal consultation. We do our best to respond within 24 to 48 hours. You can always contact us that way. And you can get in touch with me personally. I'm at copper_lattice on Instagram. And I'm always happy to help via DM. We can do Zoom chats. There's a bunch of ways to sort of get help. So if there's anything that you need, please, 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 we're here to help. Do not hesitate to reach out either through the website, Facebook, or for Instagram. That's what we're here for.
You're amazing. This was so fun. We'll definitely link to everything in the show notes. Thank you so much. I think you're going to have inspired a lot of people today. Go check DMV and make sure you go follow Jamie as well. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jamie. Oh my God, she's so smart. I could not for the life of me remember any of the bug names she was talking about. But we'll have a blog associated with this podcast, which will have all the names, all the photos. Jamie's very generous. She gave us photos of the pests, photos of the bugs that eat the pests. So click all the links in the show notes to make sure that you have what you need, particularly that new download that we have, the Ultimate Houseplant Pest Guide. It's going to teach you how to identify what pests you have and then how to eradicate them, whether you want to use oils, soaps, or beneficial insects. And you can visit DMV Beneficials. You can visit Jamie and DMV Beneficials to learn more in the links in the show notes. I don't know, plant friends, what do you think? Never in a million years did I think that I would be bringing bugs into my home intentionally, but she kind of sold me. I'm kind of excited. So stay tuned on my YouTube channel. If we do a collab, if she's able to get to Florida, it will be going up on YouTube. So stay tuned. I hope this episode was interesting and piqued your curiosity, continued to stimulate your intellect, and of course, helped you keep growing joy.
Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.